We're going to go ahead this morning, and we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. And it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Now here's the same passage in the Amplified. It says, "Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, and his glory shall be seen on you." I love the way the Amplified puts that, especially that verse 1, "Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Arise to a new life." Here we see a picture. We see a picture, really, of a darkness that covers the earth, a dense darkness that rests upon the hearts and the minds of people. But there's something about the child of God that arises from the depression and the prostration to that new life. Why? Because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Praise God. You know, when we talk about depression, we're really talking about and arising from that state, you know, the darkness and the dense darkness. We're really talking about a place of what we would call maybe brokenheartedness. You know, the Bible referred to brokenheartedness. And you know, you think about, you know, if I break a bone, that's one thing. It takes maybe a few weeks to mend. But there are things that can break on the inside of you that years later are still hurting. But the Scripture talks about an ability to be able to rise from depression, rise from circumstances that have hurt you on the inside. There's an ability to do that in God. This is Isaiah 61, and this is where Jesus read when he began his public ministry. And here we find the answer. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." I love this so much about our Lord, our God, that he has an anointing specific to heal the brokenhearted. Now, we believe in physical healing, and I thank God for physical healing. We can believe in physical healing. But I also thank God that that healing power isn't just skin deep. That healing power goes deep, 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 deep down on the inside of who we are, where we are, our most private, intimate thoughts that absolutely nobody knows but God. And there's healing there. There is an anointing of the Spirit of God to heal the brokenhearted. Now that word brokenhearted is actually two words. It's shabar and lab, those two words, brokenhearted. Shabar means broken, torn, crushed, destroyed, hurt. And lab is really your heart, feeling, will, intellect, the center of your being. In other words, he has the ability to heal crushed, torn, destroyed, hurt feelings, intellects, and wills. Okay? There is an anointing of the Spirit of God to go into your innermost, deepmost, private thoughts, feelings, pains, hurts, things that maybe you'd be too embarrassed to share with anybody, or things that you just keep bottled up between you and God. God knows it, God sees it, and God can heal it. It's astounding. It's astounding. It's the miracle working power of God. Is it His will for us to arise from the depression and prostration which circumstances have kept you? Yeah, it is. Not only that, but there is an anointing of the Spirit of God specifically to heal the brokenhearted. Now, sometimes when we talk about brokenheartedness, it's kind of we can kind of get a little in our minds. We just kind of think more kind of a romantic thing, brokenhearted, and really kind of a vague concept of brokenheartedness. But I kind of want to take the concept of brokenheartedness and bring it into more of a concrete reality. You know, if something is broken, right, what we need to do is we need to get it fixed. Now, I've used this illustration before. We have a Wii, a Nintendo Wii, that, you know, video game deal. And we were having problems with it in that the discs couldn't be read properly, and it would give us that little error, and we'd just kind of clean off the disc a little bit, and lo and behold, it would work. Or maybe the little eye there was dirty, we'd clean that off and it would work, or you could shake it and it would work, or something. You know, there was something kind of quirky about it, you know, but you can kind of work around it and you could finally get it to work. Well, there was one time when that eye thing, it went out, it was broke, and all of our little tricks didn't work anymore, and we had to send that thing in to get it fixed before it would play those little video discs and we could actually play and enjoy the game. There are things that we deal with in life that are just kind of more bumps and bruises. They're kind of little owies that we experience. It could be emotionally. It could be things, little things that happen. You know, if I'm walking here and I was to bump my leg against the podium, you know, I could maybe bruise my leg a little bit, and it would hurt a little bit, but it wouldn't incapacitate me. You know, I could continue, I could go on. But if I was to make a misstep or something and fall or break my leg, all right, that would incapacitate me. Then I would not just be able to shake it off and go on, okay? Emotionally, when we're talking about brokenheartedness, there's stuff that can happen that is just, you know, yeah, it hurt. Yeah, maybe they didn't mean that. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive them. I receive forgiveness. Whatever. You go on. Okay? It's not big stuff. But then there are things that happen, situations that can break something. All right? You can't just wipe off the disc this time. It breaks something. And you need to take some time to get fixed. There's a broken heartedness. Something, circumstances, situations that need to get healed. And if we don't follow the proper procedure for healing, we can kind of live on top of some of these injuries for years and years and years. But there is an anointing. There is a grace to heal the brokenhearted. And we've got to realize that whatever that situation is, whatever that circumstance is that caused that brokenheartedness in us or in you, and you can tell if it's a brokenheartedness, it's incapacitating. It inhibits you from being able to go on your normal day, to do your normal stuff. It's like it keeps coming back, and it distracts. There's a brokenness, and there's something in there that needs to get healed. A healing on the inside. Now, for me, My first experience in terms of a broken heartedness, you know, was when my dog died. I was almost 9 years old, and I had never experienced death before in any way, just what I saw on TV, but it just kind of wasn't really real. And when my dog, Rusty, that fateful Sunday morning, got hit by the car, and I went out, and I was running down the street with my brothers, and sure enough, he was laying there, and he was foaming at the mouth, and, you know, a kid behind me said, yeah, that dog is dead. You know, he didn't know the dog. It was my dog. And it was like that word dead, it was just like it resonated in my heart. And I just remember I was like incapacitated.
It's like I couldn't even hardly think. I couldn't function. I go to sleep. I remember dreaming of Rusty and seeing him and meeting him halfway up the steps and thinking, oh, I thought you died. And I'd wake up and he was dead. You know, these are shabar lab. They're crushed, torn emotions, feelings, intellects. All right? And what the message is this morning is there's healing for that. God's supernatural healing can heal our crushed, broken, torn emotions, intellects, will, regardless of the cause. The cause could be something you've done, or it could be something that was done to you, or it could just be circumstances of life. The point is not the cause this morning, as much as it is the healing. You know, there's a lot of different ways I could break my leg. You know, I could do something dumb, or somebody could run into me, or really how it got broken is really secondary. I need that leg healed. I need to use it. I need to walk on it. And this morning, I just want you to realize, regardless of how the brokenness happened, there's healing for that brokenness. There's wholeness from that depression, what we call depression. So this morning, I just want to talk, minister along the lines of Isaiah 60, verse 1 there, simply arising from depression. Okay? We're going to talk about arising from depression. Now, when I talk about arising from depression, imagine yourself flat on the ground, depressed, crushed by whatever that circumstance, situation is. And we're going to talk about step by step by step in terms of rising from that place of depression. There are things that really need to happen in sequence as the anointing of the Spirit of God is there to heal the brokenhearted. You will find that there is a pattern that God uses in helping you to arise from depression. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Do you know our light has come? Jesus has come. He's been buried. He rose again from the dead. He gave us His Word. He gave us His Spirit. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's done everything He needs to do for us to be able to arise from that place of depression. There's a few things that we need to do in our arising, though. And the first thing, as it relates to arising from depression, is number one, arise to peace. All right? And let me kind of qualify some of these things. Arise to peace, in other words, you're down. Arise to peace, leaning on the love of God. Arise to peace, leaning on the love of God. Here's the great redemptive classic scripture, Isaiah 53. It says, surely, talking about Jesus, and of course this was prophesied 700 years before Jesus actually came to the earth, says, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Now, as we kind of look at the kind of the cause and effect here of the blessings that we enjoy because of what Christ suffered for us on our behalf, we can see some relationships that we're familiar with. In other words, the forgiveness of sins. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why is that? Well, because He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. In other words, our promise of 1 John 1:9 has a basis of a redemptive provision that was made. It's a promise, yes, but it's backed in the blood of Christ. There is a currency standard that backs these promises. And this one was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who took upon Himself our sin. So we enjoy the forgiveness of sins today, and we know why. Because He took the punishment for what we've done wrong. Also, we referred to earlier healing. Is there anyone sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing with oil. In the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Well, why is that promise there for us? Because of what he provided for us in Isaiah 53:4. Surely he's borne our griefs, that literally means sicknesses, carried our sorrows, literally pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, and by his stripes we are healed, Rapha. And so we can see here that there's this beautiful provision of healing that we know came from our Lord's sacrificial death on the cross. In other words, I have that promise of healing because of what Christ did for me. He bore the sicknesses, carried the pains, and there was redemptive power in those stripes for healing. That's the basis of my prayer of faith. I'm putting my faith in what Christ did for me at Calvary. But here's the third one that I really want to get to, and that has to do with peace. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's important to understand that this provision of peace also has a redemptive basis in what Christ did for us. He says the chastisement for our peace was upon him. In other words, there was actual redemption in his chastisement. The word chastise there literally means to reproof, warning, chastening, correcting, discipline, rebuke. You know, there were people when Jesus was on that cross wagging their heads saying, "No, if you really are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Come down. Come on, really?" They were mocking him. They were insulting him. They were chastising him. Just as it was wrong to shed his blood and break his flesh, it was wrong emotionally, mentally, to verbally abuse him also. There was a chastisement that he took. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter, whom when he was reviled, reviled not again, but committed his cause to him who judges righteously. And there was redemption in the chastisement that he took. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Through his blood paid for our sins, those stripes paid for our healing, that chastisement paid, as it, if you will, for our peace. There's redemption in Christ. There is a gift of that precious peace of God. Now, when you think of forgiveness, do you think that you've got to do anything to earn forgiveness? Is there anything you can do to merit forgiveness? No, there isn't. Why? Because of Calvary. He took it on the cross. When it comes to healing, can anybody earn a healing? Can anybody go out and go through the five steps and do good things and earn a healing and turn it in and God give them healing in exchange for the good things he's done? No. Healing is a mercy and a grace that was bought and paid for at Calvary. How about peace? Is there something that we have to do to earn peace? No. Peace is something that through his chastisement was provided for us. And so when we're down at that place of prostration, the circumstances of life, and we're endeavoring to arise from depression, we've got to realize, first things first, the first thing that we need in our life at that point, at that time, is the peace of God. In other words, I don't need answers right now. I don't need to know why right now. I'm hurting. I need to stop the bleeding. I need peace. And how do I walk in that God-given, God-redemptive peace that was provided for me? I am, what did I just say, leaning on the love of God. All right? There is a leaning on the love of God. You know, I love that scripture in John. It says, we love him because he first loved us. And one of the first things that we have to do when we find ourselves in that place of brokenness is we've got to time out everything else and say, there's only one thing that matters right now. There's only one thing I need to know right now. No matter what that thing is, no matter what that circumstance is, person is, financial situation is, no matter what its label, title, or whatever it is that caused it, I know one thing about that thing. It cannot separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And when you're down in that place, that first things, first step that you got to do is you got to begin to say, okay, Lord, there's a lot of things I don't know, but there's one thing I do know. I know that you love me. The first thing God wants you to do in arising from depression is to look full in his wonderful face and let him tell you that he loves you, that he
cares for you, and for you to, on purpose, receive that love fresh and anew. In the middle of your inadequacy, in the middle of your failure, in the middle of where you know you should be here and you're here, there, right there, is where you say, Lord, you love me. And there's nothing that can separate me from that love that's in Christ Jesus. Jesus put it this way, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest, love, acceptance. Think of the story of the prodigal son. That son, he realized he was wrong. Spent all of his father's money. Decides, okay, I'm going to go back to my father. He starts going back to his father. He just wanted to be one of the servants in his father's household. He was so embarrassed, so ashamed, he drifted so far away. And the Bible says the father saw him from a distance. And when the father saw him, he went running to his son. Now, was he running to his son all excited with a 12-step program in his hand for his son's? No. He was there with just one thing, love. Kill the fatted calf, put the robe on him, put the ring on his finger. There was one message the father had to his prodigal son, and that was just love. I love you. Period. He didn't even have a chance to explain. His son had prepared this speech that he was going to say for his father. The father wouldn't even let him get the speech out. He just began to love him. Love him. Right where he was. Did the son have things to work through? Did he have issues in his life? Yeah. But first things first. Son, I love you. When we arise from the depression and the circumstances that hold us down, that anointing to heal a broken heart starts with love. You could have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, faith to move mountains, but without love, it's nothing. And there's nobody who knows that better than the one who is love, God. He comes to you with love. And he comes to you saying, just simply trust, believe, receive the love that I have for you. What does that mean in real life then? When it comes to arising from depression, arising to peace, it means, Lord, okay, first things first, I receive the love that you have for me. I believe. And I would just say it out loud. When you are in that spot with him, I'd say, Lord, I believe. There's many things I don't understand, but I believe you love me. I believe you love me right here. I'm not tomorrow, not after I read that chapter of Scripture, right now. Your love is here for me. What am I talking about? Just affirm the fact that God loves you right where you're at right now. That's the first thing that we need. You know, when a person's hurting, a person bleeding, you need to stop the bleeding. And there is something about the love of God. And there isn't that an amazing place when you're there? You know you're not perfect. You know you got room to grow. You know you got things on your to-do list you haven't checked off. There's things, spiritual projects that you haven't got through. But you just know that God loves you. That is step number one. There is a rising to peace. The peace that passes understanding, which guards, as it were, like a Band-Aid or something, not a, you know, it's like something that's going to protect your heart and your mind, that area of the wound. There will be a guard over that wound of the peace of God that comes from the love of God. Just letting the Lord love you. Praise God. That's the first aspect of arising from depression. It's arising to peace, leaning on the love of God. The next aspect as far as arising from depression is going to be arise to healing. All right, the first thing that we want to do is we want to surround that wound, you know, with the love and the grace and the mercy of God. But the next thing that we need to do is we need to arise to healing. It's good to be free from the pain. It's good to have relief from that pain. All right? If I've got that broken leg, thank God there are things the doctors can give me to help take the edge off of that pain. And that's good. I want relief from that immediate pain. But ultimately, I want that leg to come together again. I want those bones to be able to come together again. And that's where we arise to healing.
Let's see. You know, a popular way too, when we talk about sometimes, we talk about conditions. We'll talk about situations in terms of, even in our culture, you might talk about things in terms of a disease. You know, whether it's addictions and different things like that. You might people will talk about things in terms of it being a disease, whether it's alcoholism or drugs or maybe immoral behaviors, different things like that, and kind of categorize it, classify it as a disease. Sometimes, you know, we Christians will kind of get critical of that and say, come on, you know, you're kind of making it out to be like you're a victim of a thing like cancer or something. You got to take responsibility for your moral behavior and all that kind of stuff. And I understand that. I understand that argument and that thing. But you got to understand, when a person's in a situation, it does have an effect on them over time as far as their soul needing to be healed. Now, why do I say that? Because the Scripture says that. When you look at situations of the heart, the psalmist said, I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. You'll find that when you yield to an area of sin, it's amazing how it's just like there's something that becomes automatic to just do it and to repeat it. And to break that sin cycle, there needs to be a healing, as it were, mentally, emotionally, something that God does on the inside of you too. Forgiveness, cleansing, but there is like a restoration, a healing. Psalm 147:3-5 says, He heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars, calls them by name. Great is our Lord, mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. So these are just a few scriptures about God's healing power. On the inside, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Jeremiah, return, you backslidden children, I'll heal your backslidings. Indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. There's healing. Hosea 14:3-4, Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. For in you the fatherless find mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. My anger has turned away from him. And then finally, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. In other words, the Scripture talks about a condition of the heart, you know, where you're struggling, that God can bring healing to those different areas. Now, as I'm talking about healing in the brokenheartedness, that is going to, because remember, first things first, we said, forget the cause for a minute. Forget why I got the broken leg. I got a broken leg, and I need some relief. I need some peace. I need some strength. I need the love of God. I need stability in my emotions, my soul. That's step one, arising to peace and leaning on the love of God. But now, as I've rise to peace, leaning on the love of God, I'm also arising to healing as well, too. In other words, the thing that caused, you know, whatever it is that caused that thing, God wants to start to bring healing to my soul. You know, when you're dealing with a brokenheartedness, it's hard to stay focused. It's hard to stay on task. It's like you can get scatterbrained, you're interrupted because that thing keeps coming back. It keeps flashing back into your mind. And it's like keeps you in that depressed state. Week after week, month after month, year after year. God has a plan. After he has ministered the love and the peace, there is a plan. He wants you to arise to healing, okay? And there is healing. And I just bring these scriptures out. He wants you to arise to healing, leaning on his word. Okay? Leaning on his word. Hebrews 12:12-13 puts it this way. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. You know, if I've got that broken leg, what is a doctor going to do? They're going to put it in a cast, and they're going to restrict the movement of that leg until it properly heals. Okay? When you are arising from depression, and again, it depends on the situation, and you know everybody's situation is different, and this time period may be different in terms of how long, but there needs to be a season where your heart and your mind is, as it were, in a cast. All right? In other words, you're not trying to fix the problem that caused the broken leg.
You're just simply keeping your leg in a place to where the healing power can take place. The Word of God is very emphatic about where we're talking about in the natural setting a leg, of course, but the Scripture is very emphatic about where we set our mind. When you begin to set your mind in an area and set your mind mentally, emotionally, there is healing power that can take place in your mind. Here are just a few scriptures along those lines. Psalm 1, blessed is the man, doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the path of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But you'll notice verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. He's got choices though, doesn't he? He could stand in the counsel of the ungodly. He could hang around the path of sinners. He could be critical. These are all kind of escape valves. He says, none of those escape valves. I'm going to stay in my cast. I'm going to stay in the Word of God and delight myself in the Word of God. That's what makes him stable. Isaiah, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And I want these verbs, stayed, set, I want it for you to imagine it's like a cast for your soul. It's what keeps your soul focused on God. You are going to restrict the movements of your thoughts. Restrict the movements of your soul. Now again, we're talking in the broader context here of arising from depression, rising from that state of brokenness. I'm going to have a season where I am going to keep my mind stayed on Him. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. There's a rising to healing, leaning on the Word of God. Okay, a few other ones. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Okay? What am I doing? Am I trying to figure out why so-and-so did such-and-such? Am I trying to figure out, you know, how I could have been so dumb to do this or that? I'm not going there in my mind. I'm staying spiritually minded. I'm thinking on things that are praiseworthy, noble, good. I'm thinking about Him. I'm thinking about the godly thoughts. Not the counsel of the ungodly. Not the path of the sinner. Not the seat of the scornful. I don't have to exalt myself. I don't have to sit in the seat of the scornful to feel better about myself. I'm not having that seat. I'm going to just keep my mind and heart on God and pure, godly, loving thoughts. James 1:21, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And then finally, Colossians 1, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, what does this look like in real life? Step 2, as far as arising to healing, putting pressure on the Word of God. You are going to find several scriptures that minister to you and stand on those scriptures. One of my favorite ones is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Leads me into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because You're with me, and Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can meditate on that one psalm all day long. And what will happen? What happens when you do that? You're keeping your mind in that cast of those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy. Not allowing it to go outside, and healing begins to take place in your soul. There's a healing that takes place. Remember it says here, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. You know there's a temptation to go carnal, because I'm going to figure it out and be critical and angry and hateful. No, there's a spiritual mindedness that's a place of life and peace, that's green pastures, it's still waters. From there, He'll lead you into those paths of righteousness. But there is a mental cast that you begin to put on your heart that says, look, I am going to keep it true, honest, just, pure, lovely,
virtuous, of good report. I'm staying here. And as I stay here, I'm restricting my movements. I'm restricting my movements. And in that restriction of my movements, there's healing. Before, you know, we get that Romans scripture, if you look up to Romans chapter 8, 2, it says, the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And it's when you get spiritually minded, you're thinking about the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus works inside of you. This is not mind over matter. This is not positive thinking. This is spiritual, powerful law. It's faith. When you're tempted to go negative and you stay positive and you choose to captivate your thoughts, bring them into obedience of Christ and say, no, Lord, I'm going to keep my heart, I'm going to keep my mind on you. You are keeping it in that cast. And I'm telling you what, that's where healing happens. You see, I can't put pressure on this leg yet. It's still broken. Same way emotionally as you're healing up. You can't put pressure on that situation that caused it. You've got to put pressure on the love of God and believe that He loves you. Even after you've experienced relief from emotional pain from the love of God, you still don't put pressure on that wound. Now you're putting pressure on the Word of God. You're putting pressure on the blessed promises and provision of God's Word. That's where the pressure is applied. As you're applying the pressure there, healing is taking place here. There's something about keeping your mind stayed on Him, that perfect peace comes. That's a discipline to keep your mind stayed on Him. And you've got to have kind of a... remember that guy... I never watched this show, Hogan's Heroes. There was a guy, that big guy, jolly guy, Schultz. Yeah. He says, I see nothing, I hear nothing, I know nothing. That's all I remember. You got to have Schultz at your mind right there. When you're tempted to go to the seat of the scornful and all that, say, nope, I got a guard right here. I got a guard on my mind. Schultz is there. I know nothing. And you know, the enemy is very intimidating, isn't he? He's like, oh, come on, you want to fight? You don't want to fight? You're weak? You're afraid? He'll appeal to your pride. He'll appeal to your ego. And it takes humility to stay in that place. We're going, nope. Okay, Lord, that's where I'm going to stay. And I've related before the treadmill experience that I had when I'm running on the treadmill and I'm having this argument and I'm having this fight in my mind with somebody and the Spirit of the Lord just clearly saying, praise me. And telling the Lord, no, I can't praise you right now. I got to work through this before I can praise you. And then that word the Lord gave me, he said, you don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my mouth. That's pride. It's arrogance. It's ego. Enemy knows how to play on our pride. And it's humbling to say, okay, God, I just praise you. I just trust you. I'm not running the math. I'm not figuring it out. I'm not calculating anything right now. I'm just keeping my mind in that Psalm 23 cast or that Psalm 1 cast. Or find some scriptures. The Lord hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. One of the great ones I love, too. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But there's a continuing in the word that causes a discipline of the heart and the mind to the word. And in that place of setting your mind, there's healing, there's strength. Stuff begins to flow there. And that the healing begins to happen. So as you're arising from depression, you're first arising to peace, leaning on the love of God. Then you're going to arise to healing, leaning on the Word of God. I've had a broken arm before. I've had it in a cast. And I know that cast restricted the movement of my arm so that I wouldn't re-injure it. And that healing took place in my arm. Now, let me tell you this. I don't know how it happened. I'm not a medical doctor. I couldn't explain to you how it happened. All I know is that when that cast was in place, my arm healed up. You know, you don't even have to know how the healing works for it to work. You can just keep it in the cast. Again, that Schultz, I know nothing. I'm just keeping it. I'm keeping my mind set. I'm just doing the word, humbling myself as a little child. And I'm going to stay in the Spirit. I'm going to stay focused on God, looking unto Jesus. God sees that, and it blesses Him. And He will minister to you. But there is just that keeping your heart and mind stayed on him, keeping it simple, not getting complicated, not trying to figure it out, not playing healer, not trying to do the healing part myself, just letting the cast work. Because when you get in that place and you discipline your heart and mind to stay in that place, revelation begins to flow. The Spirit of God, fellowship with God, all the stuff that really matters in life happens in that little mental, emotional cast as you begin to fix your mind on Him. First things first, He loves you. Next thing, His Word. Simple. Like I said, when I do this in real life, 2-3 scriptures. You don't need a lot of scriptures. Now, as you're in those 2-3 scriptures, He might lead you to some more scriptures, and that's great. But it's not a complicated thing. It's just letting your heart and your mind stay in that place. Setting it on things above. And just like when that physical cast, wow, that works. It's amazing. All that stuff going on in there, well, there's stuff going on in here. What is that stuff going on in here? It's the Spirit of the Lord, whereby there's an anointing to heal the brokenhearted. And that anointing is healing stuff in you. That's why I love that. You know, you just let your request be known unto Him, the peace. It will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And so that's a time. That's a time where you just want to keep your heart, your mind fixed in Him. And, you know, I remember, and there is something about getting spiritual. Have you ever had it where maybe you're just driving around in the car and all of a sudden you'll turn on the radio? Maybe you've got a Christian CD playing in your car, worship song or something like that, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, praise God, it's a wonderful song. And your whole atmosphere, your whole attitude, your whole mindset can change just like that. It's very humbling to see how vulnerable we human beings are and how powerful it is when we begin to set our minds on things. You can change that channel in your mind is what I'm saying. And if you start out in the cast of God's love and pure love, and all of a sudden, somehow, some way, something triggers, and you've changed the channel to something, you know, to the bitterness channel, or to the, you know, some of those hurtful rerun channels or whatever, you don't have to watch the whole show before you turn it back. Did you know that? Again, you can just turn it right back. The enemy will tell you you're cheating, but you're not cheating. You're obeying the Word. True, honest, just, pure, lovely. No moral obligation to watch the rest of that show. You can turn the channel back to being a doer of the Word. This is where God wants us. Spiritual things, they're simplistic. They're powerful. You've got to realize God set this up for whosoever will to be able to do it, right? In other words, it's not going to be your fancy degree or education and whew, good thing that my IQ and my intellect was just that high that I could stay 6 levels deep to be able to get set free. No, 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 no. Jesus said, I thank you, Father, you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them to babes. This is where Christianity is humbling. It's in the simplicity. It's in the, if you seek to find yourself, you're going to lose yourself, but if you lose yourself for my sake, you'll find yourself. And some of the losing you experience is the losing, the leaning to your own understanding in some of these areas. You lose that. But you find some things in these simple little places. The Spirit of God will begin to show you, breathe life into you. And then finally, we're going to arise to hope. Arise to hope. Praise God. This is where you arise, shine. You know, you don't just arise from depression. You arise and you shine. That's really sticking it in the enemy's face. You're not just functioning, I'm not just able to walk on my leg again, but I'm shining. I'm productive. God's using me to lift other people up from places of depression. Arise, shine. God's deliverance is so full. It's so complete. It's so amazing. There's a rising to love. God, you love me. I don't know anything. All I know is one thing is you love me. If that's all you know, that's enough. Because from there, green pastures, still waters, He'll begin to lead you into those paths in the Word, in that cast for your heart and your soul to get healed up. But here's the exciting thing. You begin to arise to hope. You see, when a person is dealing with depression, it's not just a matter of, hopelessness. Oh, come on, you got to put your hope in God. When a person is really dealing with that broken heart, it's like your ability to hope is what's broken. Remember, I said I had to turn that we in, you know, because I just can't hope anymore. I'm burned out on hope. I've tried hope. I'm angry. Man, if hope was a person, I'd want to smack it. I know the hope stuff. Yeah. That's what's broken in me. That ability to hope. Well, you got to start with love. You just got to start with letting God love you and believe the love and rejoice in His love and let His love in. And then from there, you go to that place of, okay, Lord, these green pastures, still waters of your love, there's a path of righteousness. There's a path of scriptures. There's a cast for my soul, for my mind. I'm going to have that guard on my mind, and I'm going to stay disciplined to stay spiritual, to stay positive, to keep my mind on you, things above, pure, honest, just, pure, lovely. And in that place, there's healing. Praise God. But when you experience that depression, it's that hope that seems to be so elusive. But the cool thing about doing step one, receiving the love of God, and then doing two, you begin to allow the Spirit of God, and all of a sudden you're focused on the Word of God, and you know nothing, you see nothing, you hear nothing, but the Word of God, and that begins, that healing power begins to work in you. That what happens in that healing is that all of a sudden, whatever caused that situation, that caused the brokenheartedness, when you're in that cast for a while and healing happens, you find you can put pressure on it again, and it doesn't hurt you. How do you know when the cast is ready to come off? Put it that way. I mean, the cast, in a sense, the cast shouldn't come off. I mean, you should always keep that heart. But I'm talking about when you're arising from depression. You have the ability to hope again. Something happens in the healing here where God is working in you, and all of a sudden, you can dare to believe again. And it's not you, it's not mind over matter, it's a work of the Spirit. God becomes so real in that place that your heart is ready to begin to hope again. I can put pressure on that relationship and it doesn't crush me. Why? I have a spirit of power, love, and some. Even though I walk through the valley of death, I won't fear He's with me. But it's so real that He's with me. Well, it came from being in that cast for a while, in the reality of the presence of God. But now I can kind of go places in my soul I couldn't go before and shouldn't have went before because the bone hadn't healed yet. But God heals the bone, and you can revisit places healthy and strong. The problem is that we try to fix things before, you know, I'm trying to run a marathon before my leg's healed. You know, I'm trying to do things because I want everything to be fixed. But first things first, I got to let God love me. I got to let God heal me. And from there, I can begin to arise to hope. Rise to hope. Looking at the plan of God for my life. Arise to hope. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Amplified. "For we are God's own handiwork, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live." So there's a rising to hope. In other words, praise God, my leg is getting better, my leg is strong, it doesn't hurt anymore, I can put pressure on it, and that mechanism of hope begins to work again. And so now I begin to say, okay, Lord, good works You've ordained me to walk in. What next? Where do we go from here? There's a direction that God has for my life. You know, I'm ready. I can walk by faith again. My leg is working. I've got a heart that's ready to believe again, to get back in the race, to get back in the game. You know, sometimes people can be so totally focused on healing that's all it's about, is their healing. It's not just about your healing. Your healing is a means to an end of getting back up to do this, to do what God's called you to do. It's like a pit stop in a race in a Indianapolis 500 or whatever. It's amazing how they get in those pit stops, they take care of all that stuff, but then what happens? Then they get back out in the race. And that's the important thing. The big picture. You can arise to hope. And I understand when you're brokenhearted, it's a big deal to feel healed, to feel whole, to feel restored. But really see that that's not the whole goal of your life, is to arise from depression. It's to arise to get back out and do what God has called you to do. He's got a plan for your life. Don't let your whole life be about depression or even be about victory from depression. Let it be a pit stop. And yes, it may take time. You may have to be in that cast for a while. But realize that there is hope and the mechanism of hope getting healed in you. And God is going to take you on to places in Him. Again, where it's not just about your healing, but God using you to help others get healed and to restore others. You know, sometimes I'd wonder as a new believer, why does the enemy spend so much time with me? Little Ed House, I mean, what's the big deal? Why do I got to fight these battles? You know, I mean, what's the big deal about my freedom, my victory? Well, it's not your freedom and your victory in of itself that's such a big deal. It's what you're going to do with it and how you're going to light this world up with the power of God and help others to get set free. But God has a plan. He's got direction for you. I love not only a new plan, but I love the scripture in Psalms. I like to put it this way, a new dream. When the Lord brought back the captives who returned to Zion, we were like those who dream. In other words, these guys were in captivity for years, and they were finally set free. And they're describing what that was like. He said, we were like those who dream. It seemed so unreal. Then were our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then they said to among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we're glad. Turn to freedom our captivity and restore our fortunes, O Lord, as the streams in the south are restored by the torrents. They who sow in tears shall reap in joy and singing. So what are we seeing here? There's a captivity that's turned. It's like your dream. It's like, wow, this is amazing. I've always dreamed that this could happen. And it happens, and it's real. There is a rising from depression. God brings you to a real place where you're free. You walk through that thing, and it's like, wow, praise God. But there's a sequence to it. There's a healing that takes place as you arise to peace. You believe the love that God has for you. Praise God. You believe that He cares for you. You just, on purpose. I mean, if I'm dealing with something, I just go one, two, three. You know, and however long I'm staying in one, I will stay in one. And then I'll go to two, I'll go to three. But I am going to take time and I am going to let my heart know and believe that God loves me. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. No matter what I've done, no matter what anybody's done to me, one thing about that thing, it can't get in between me and the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I'm going to start there. I'm going to let God's love in. I'm going to, in my mind's eye, see myself looking into the eyes of my high priest at that throne of grace. And I'm going to say, Lord, I love you and I thank you. I receive your love for me on purpose. I'm not trying to fix anything. I'm just affirming the acceptance that I have through Jesus Christ with my Heavenly Father. He loves me. From that place of green pastures and still waters, from that place of rest that our good shepherd said he'd give us when we come to him with our heavy ladens, from there, there will be paths of righteousness. There will be scriptures. There will be a cast for my mind and my soul. I'm in that place of love and say, okay, Lord, now I need to set my mind. I'm not trying to fix anything. I'm not trying to solve anything. I'm going to put my mind and my heart in the cast of your word, and I'm going to let the anointing of the Holy Ghost that has the ability to heal the brokenhearted work in my mind and my soul while I keep my mind on things above. I'm not the healer. I'm just keeping my heart and mind in a place where the healer can do what he wants to do in me. I'm arising in hope, leaning on the love. I'm rising in healing, leaning on the word. And then finally, I'm going to arise in hope. I'm going to put pressure on that leg again. And I'm going to begin to say, okay, Lord, here am I. Send me. Show me what you want me to do next. Because I'll tell you, when you go through that process, you get stuff in there. You don't just get healed, you get equipped. And you got some stuff to tell and to share. And you can reach down to where people are in first person and let them know what God did for you and what God's going to do for them. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan for your life. So I want to close with a song. It came out several years ago. It's called Something Beautiful. He goes, I want to start it over. I want to start again. I want a new beginning, one without an end. I feel it inside calling out to me. It's a voice that whispers my name. It's a kiss without any shame. Something beautiful, like a song that stirs in my head. Singing love will take us where something's beautiful. I've heard it in the silence. I've seen it on a face. I've felt it in the long hour, like a sweet embrace. I know this is true. It's calling out to me. It's a voice that whispers my name. It's a kiss without any shame. Something beautiful, like a song that stirs in my head. Singing love will take us to where something's beautiful. It's the child on her wedding day. It's the daddy that gives her away. Something beautiful. When we laugh so hard we cry, it's the love between you and I. Something beautiful. Arise, arise from depression, from the circumstances of life. God's love, God's word, God's hope, it's there. Faith, hope, love, these things remain, and they remain for a purpose. They're there for us to hold on to get back up, and to do what God's called us to do. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much this morning that through you, we can do all things. We can arise from depression through Christ who strengthens us, through Christ who loves us, through Christ who leads us by his word, and through Christ who leads us into paths which he's foreordained that we should have taken. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us these lives that are just amazingly rich with purpose. Help us, Lord, to see the big picture. Help us to see that we have cause to get up. There is a reason each one of us in this place should be up, should be on our feet. There are good works you've placed on the inside of each one of us, Lord. Help us to know that each person here is a valuable member, valuable part of this body, that there is functionality that you've built on the inside of us, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much for your love. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can believe this. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe in your love. No matter where I am today, I know one thing for sure. Nothing can separate me from the love you have for me. No matter where I am today, I can lean on that love and find peace. Peace that comes from knowing my God simply loves me right where I'm at. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that as I put my mind, as I put my feelings in a cast of your precious word, setting my mind on things above, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Something happens. The anointing that heals the brokenhearted heals me, restores the ability to hope again, to trust again. I'm not fixing anything. I'm just looking unto you, the finisher of my faith. Thank you for hope, Lord. I have cause to get up. There are good works in me. You've ordained me to walk in. My race is amazing. I was created for my race. No one else's race. Only my race can satisfy me. So I look, Lord, to you. Jesus, today's my day. I call upon your name. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I believe in my heart. You died on the cross for my sins. That God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart. Be my Lord, be my Savior. In Jesus' name, Amen.